Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. Today is July 20th, 2025. I'm your host, Blois Olson. Well, it is the slow part of the summer, but Congress has been very busy this week passing a rescission bill that pulled back funding for certain things, including public media. We'll talk a little bit more about that going forward. But the other news this week that I think captured most insiders, and streaming data said that a fair amount of Minnesotans were interested in the Nicole Mitchell trial. I will say I was interested. I watched most of it, including her testimony and the cross-examination. And the verdict on Friday, guilty on 2 counts, 2 felonies, I think aligns with what my sense was after just seeing the police body cam and what it meant there. The other issue that is a shiny object in politics right now is the Jeffrey Epstein files and the federal government's role in releasing them, the promises there. And the general sense that what is expected is not being delivered. And with people's own eyes and their own ears and their own ability to discern the truth from fiction or lies continues to be a challenge for America's two political parties. But we are a year away from the heat of a governor's race. And Scott Jensen announced this week that he would try to run again. He'll be my guest this week. And as we look and wait to see what Governor Walz decides, what are the issues that we need to talk about? I think that's the thing that from last week's show about our headquarters economy and future shows about healthcare and key issues around the state. I want to make sure we start this conversation about where Minnesota's headed, what we're doing, in a way that keeps people engaged and starts to think and form and create a framework that most Minnesotans can agree that the state needs to do to move forward. That includes our economy and our jobs, our education system, our healthcare system. Those are the things that I think impact people's lives the most on a daily basis. And too often, those aren't the things that the media is talking about, nor that politicians are spending time trying to solve. So with that, we'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to break down the Mitchell trial, the impact on the legislature, some fundraising numbers that came in, and the state that is the state of Minnesota politics. I'm Blois Olson. You're listening to the Sunday
Evening, buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take. I'm Blaise Olson. Well, after Friday's guilty verdict for Nicole Mitchell, the legislature is once again in a tie in the Minnesota Senate. And if you look at the culture of the legislature over the last 3 years, you begin to realize, and if you really account for the last year, and going back to 2023, you begin to realize that while the House has been tied for the last session and had a majority in the previous 2 years, the Senate is ultimately where Democrats have arguably used, maybe even abused, a level of power to push forward an agenda, protect their victories under what I believe is some suspect kind of values or ethics. Nicole Mitchell was arrested in April of 2024. After that, changes and challenges to some of the 2023 legislation didn't make it through the Senate. Other things that she voted on, despite being kicked out of her caucus, stripped of committees, allowed Democrats to talk a good game, but did not show that they were serious about holding their own accountable. Meanwhile, when Justin Eichhorn was arrested in 2025 for soliciting an underage prostitute in a sting operation, he resigned, and Republicans immediately called for his resign. Nicole Mitchell was charged with felonies. Governor Walz called for her resignation, but he didn't stay on the drumbeat. Former party chair Ken Martin called for her resignation. But by all accounts, there wasn't much pressure. There wasn't much squeeze to say you need to step down and you need to step down now. Mitchell's seat is favorably Democrat, but it's a suburban seat in Woodbury and could be competitive. And so when we look at the culture of the legislature that has evolved, that Mitchell represents, it is this power at all costs over principle. You look at the ethics charges against Senate President Bobby Joe Champion this past session, and you start to wonder, are Democrats just protecting their own at the price of trying to be transparent and hold themselves accountable? Now, this a week ago, Governor Walz called the special election in the seat for Melissa Hortman. So as of right now, Republicans have a one seat majority in the House. And if Nicole Mitchell's resigned, we have a tie back in the Senate. That reflects Minnesota's divide and the equality of people's opinions and how they vote by legislative district. And as we look to next year, I think that's the discussion. Can Minnesota shift one way? Will it shift back to Democrats because it's a tough Trump midyear? Will it hold its own? Is there a chance Republicans pick up seats most likely in the Senate? Well, in my 30 years watching the Minnesota legislature, I must say that the transparency and the public engagement, the true testimony, and the interest from legislators themselves in real issues are not sincere. More activists are elected from Republican side and Democratic side. Those activists come to St. Paul with a position. I think one of the things that you have to admire and see both about the late Speaker Hortman and Lisa Damith in this last session is that they kept their caucuses together and nobody flaked off. Nobody criticized their own caucus publicly. I have no doubt that there are members that are frustrated. You look at the Senate DFL, they talked big about this Blue Dog Caucus, but that Blue Dog Caucus didn't hold the line. They didn't hold up legislation to get anything done. This past session, they went along with leadership. And that is where I think the discussion will be in the next year. What are the issues that Minnesotans want to talk about? What do they expect from their legislature? Because I'll just say it's been a sad, disappointing dynamic going on 3 years. And it's hard to follow the legislature. It is not interesting. But those legislators and ultimately the candidates that run for the legislature next year owe it to Minnesotans to be a little more intellectually curious about our economy, about our schools, and not just line up with the factions that influence their party, but rather line up for all of Minnesotans on healthcare, on transportation. Be more critical of those in your party. And the thing that you took away from the Mitchell testimony, which will be the topic of the take this year or this week, is the biggest challenge is once you get curious and once you dig in, what you see is not what they say. And if we've learned anything in the last year, the voters can see and hear with their own selves. And that when they see things different and politicians or elected officials say something opposite that doesn't make sense, it doesn't usually go well for the party in charge. When we come back, Scott Jensen's going to be my guest. He's running for governor again. What did he think about in making the decision and how is he going to run a better campaign? I'm Blaise Olson.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's Bombas. And use code audio.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order. Order at Vistaprint.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it?
Yeah, so do we.
Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today.
DSW, let us surprise you.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. My guest this week is Scott Jensen, as I mentioned in the open, and he is running for governor again. And he joins me now on Sunday Take. Former Senator Jensen, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Blaise, for having me on your program.
So you and I have exchanged some text messages over the last few months. I knew this was under consideration. What finally pushed you over the edge to make you decide that you wanted to undertake a governor's race again?
I solve problems. Every day I solve problems. Every year I solve problems working with thousands of people, and I don't think that's happening in Minnesota. I also think that voters want transparent, authentic conversations, and I think that Minnesota politics typically runs away from those. It seems like there's a calculated decision whether or not a conversation can take place based on how much danger it might bring about to future elections. And I think that's problematic. I think Minnesotans are tired of it. And I believe Minnesotans are tired of the hyperbole. I think Minnesotans are saying enough is enough. So I solve problems, and I want to change the paradigm of how Minnesota campaigns operate. I intend to focus on what would good governance look like? What rights do all people have? What's the distinction between personal privacy and an overly intrusive government public policy? I think those are the kinds of conversations that voters want us to have.
Scott, I know you to be a deeply reflective person and man. I know you contemplate things. You and I have had many conversations over the years where you acknowledge maybe something wasn't as it seemed, or you could have done it better, you could have communicated better. You've obviously reflected pretty deeply. You've talked to your family about this. You've been through some legal battles. When you dug down deep inside yourself and looked at yourself, What is it that you believe is either different about you or could come across differently to voters this time versus, you know, 3-4 years ago?
Let me look at that question from both a micro and a macro perspective, Blois. From a micro perspective, focusing on Scott Jensen, I learned a lot. I had never experienced anything like a statewide campaign. The intensity, the never-ending being monitored and tracked, every word being sliced and diced and scrutinized for political advantage. And in that process, I learned, I made mistakes. One of the things I learned is if you cannot or will not corroborate something, then don't speak to the issue. Don't reference it. Just take a pass. And I shouldn't have spoken to some of the issues that I did. I think another mistake I made was getting caught up in the rhetoric, the partisan rhetoric, and relying on that rhetoric to be a safe space, particularly in regards to abortion. I think that the political rhetoric for both parties had evolved over half a century and had been solidly in place going into the 2022 campaign. And you could say that the rhetoric didn't really matter until it did matter. And I think that happened in 2022 with the June decision by the courts. And I think that that's now moving to a macro level, Blois. I think that's caused millions of Americans to reflect on some of the presumed binary choices that Americans were being forced to make. You're either this or this. When the fact is, you could be both. And you could say, yes, I am personally pro-life. And yet, I fear the heavy hand of government intruding on personal privacy matters, because if they can do it in this arena, can they then do it in this arena? If the government can do this, then can the government mandate some type of medical treatment? Can government decide how we're going to treat our cancers? Can government decide what vaccinations we choose? And that any vaccination that has been approved is a mandatory vaccine. Can government do all these things? Well, if it can do all these things here, then they can do all these things here. And I think a lot of people have said, you know, using the heavy hand of government to get our way in terms of setting the moral compass collectively may not work. And I think those are the kinds of things that I've reflected deeply on. And at some level, I'm disappointed that I wasn't smarter in 2022. But that's the gift of being a human, that we do understand things more deeply as we live life, and perspectives do change. And with that, hopefully we can make our country and our state a better place.
You stated to Tom Hauser on Friday that you believe that hundreds of thousands of conservatives and Republicans should make the selection. You said you'll go to a primary. You were the endorsed candidate last time. It gave you an advantage. Why this time do you believe more voices or more voters need to decide? And is that a statement about kind of the process and the conventions? Or is that a broader view that you have of the people you've talked to in Minnesota?
It's both. I think that the process that we have today is flawed. And I think that any process that shrinks the number of decision makers has to be held at some level under examination. In my office, if three of us make a decision to change the way we take care of prescription call-ins for our patients, we might well miss perspectives or challenges that would come to light if we had the entire clinic staff having a chance to weigh in. So I think that's human nature. If you have five people making the decision for 2 million people, you have a much greater risk of having a decision that doesn't represent the 2 million people. If you can get a decision to be made instead of by 5 people, 5,000 people, or 500,000 people. There's a modulating impact there. And I think that's what we need to move toward. I think that's why there's quite a lot of conversation and chatter about, do we need a third party? And I think part of the reason for that is because people fear that the two-party system allows for hyper-polarized polls in each party to dominate the conversation. And people want a balanced conversation. They want government to have its limits. Many people feel like in this polarizing climate that we live in, at times people have been willing to dismiss the Constitution for their own personal preference. And yet most people who live between the 30-yard lines would say that's an incredibly dangerous thing for one portion of a political party to think that somehow they get to pick and choose what elements of the Constitution should govern our behavior as a country.
My guest is Scott Jensen. He was the Republican nominee for governor in 2022. He's decided he's going to run again in 2026. Scott, over the last 3 years, including after 2022, when Democrats had the trifecta in the legislature, they passed several initiatives: paid family leave, earned safe and sick time, school meals for free. Are you against all of those? Do you support any parts of those? And what would you change if you were elected governor or proposed to change?
The governor really is not a legislator. A governor is, at some level, more of an executive functioner who has to help people who work in different arenas do their job effectively. I don't think a governor should intend to go into office and pick and choose as to what laws he or she will enforce or emphasize and things like that. In 2023, the process, I think, on the part of both parties was problematic. And I think the Republicans screamed the loudest because they were in the minority, and the Democrats were very effective. And if I could, I would just say that the tragic death of Melissa Hortman was tragic for many, many reasons. First and foremost, because her assassination is horrific. But Melissa Hortman was a powerfully effective leader, and she did it with humor and grace. But I think one of the most important things that I saw, and I certainly didn't know her nearly as well as many people did, but I saw her as a person who was far less interested in who got credit for what and more interested in shepherding something through. And that's what happened in 2023. Under very effective Democratic leadership, the Democratic Party ran the table. And I don't agree with many of the things that were done. And yet there were things that were done that had absolute value. I don't think anybody should be okay with the notion that kids might be in school trying to learn and their stomachs are growling because they haven't had a meal in 18 hours. I don't know that we really had the conversation to try to laser focus on what was the problem, identify the problem, and then what would be the solution. And how would we monitor whether or not our hypothetical solution was doing its job? I have advocated for years that when new initiatives take place, that there be a sunset associated with it, because generally politicians don't like to vote initiatives out of existence because that means taking a stand. So non-functioning or poorly functioning initiatives frequently go on into perpetuity because nobody has the courage to say, this isn't working. This isn't doing what we thought it would. So I think we've run that risk in 2023 because I don't think we have adequate safeguards against non-functioning initiatives. I think the Paid Family Medical Leave Act is over the top. I think it's going to make it very difficult for small business people to function, for large businesses to function. I don't think it took into consideration the fact that there are There were beacon companies in Minnesota, large successful companies that already had programs in place that were functioning, accomplishing what they were supposed to, and they should have been tapped into more as a template for solution than to simply willy-nilly have partisan politicians coming up with what they thought might work, hope might work, and yet runs the very real risk of breaking the bank. At some level, Minnesota voters and taxpayers will get tired of wasteful spending, policies that don't work, initiatives that don't accomplish what they're supposed to, and this notion that there's always more money in the piggy bank that politicians can go get from the voters.
When we think ahead to next year, battle for the endorsement, primary, what are the three issues that you think deserve the most focus and what you believe Minnesotans want the most energy put towards?
We have to return to good governance. And we used to be a model state where Democrats and Republicans could work together. Prior to mid-1970s, there were no Democrat and Republican labels. It was conservatives and liberals, and you could even have independents. So I think we need to say, what does good governance look like? And to me, it would look like a balance between being competent and yet being compassionate. I think we need to acknowledge that for people who are down and out, we want a safety net in place to help them, to help be a stepping stone for them to be more self-reliant, to get to a life where they can dream dreams and go out and effect those dreams. But we don't want safety net places to be destination places. We want them to be stepping stones. We need to recognize that good governance focuses on affordable housing and affordable health care and affordable daycare. And it focuses on accountability of the dollars that the legislature has been given, if you will, by the taxpayers. I think good governance focuses on recognizing the distinction between personal privacy matters and public governmental policy matters. And I don't know that we've done that. So good governance has to be at the top of the list. I think responsible budgeting. I mean, we have gone through a situation where we had an $18 billion surplus, which for the size of our budget overall in Minnesota, this is an immense surplus. And it was not returned to the taxpayers. It was spent along with the creation of $9 or $10 billion in more taxes. And now we're looking straight at a potential deficit structurally in the next 2-3 years. This is astonishing. And one of the legislature's main functions is to, if you will, budget responsibly and stay within its means. I don't think Minnesota has a revenue problem. I think we have a spending problem. I think we waste money. We have fraudulent programs at virtually every level, whether you're talking about adult daycare, infant daycare, taking care of kids with autism, feeding our future, trying to provide housing. It doesn't stop. And I think this is a huge issue for people. And lastly, I think we need to return at some level to remembering what the preamble to the Constitution is. We, the people, in order to form a more perfect government, and there's five components: establish justice. We want justice. Ensure domestic tranquility. We certainly didn't have that under Governor Walz's leadership in 2020 when he let Minneapolis burn. Provide for the common defense. That's a more of a federal issue, but it's important. Promote the general welfare. How do you promote the general welfare? Well, quite frankly, we need to recognize that people need to have food in their tummy and clothing on their back and a roof over their head. And if we can do that, we have a much better chance of having a society that can pull together and work their way through the challenges such as a pandemic. But lastly, we're also supposed to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Well, what does that mean? That means we have to ask ourselves, what kind of a world are we leaving our children and our grandchildren and the generations to come? And I don't know that we're leaving the country, the state, in as good a place as we were. One of the things we're saying in our campaign is there are millions of Minnesotans who want their Minnesota back. We are not a one Minnesota. That's an absolute political slogan, and it's a sham. We're a more divided state than we've been in years. And if people can't acknowledge that, I just don't think they're paying attention.
Scott, I really appreciate the time today. As you know, we'll probably talk many more times down the line, both on the radio and off, and look forward to those conversations, those debates, and those forums.
Thank you, Blois. And if I could just close with one comment, I don't know what famous person said it, but someone made one comment where they said that the most important public service anybody can do is, as a private citizen, to be engaged. And I hope that Minnesotans take that seriously, because we need every voice to weigh in, because I think we're at a critical juncture in terms of what direction are we going to go as a state.
Thanks, Scott.
Take care and have a good day, Blois.
You too. That was Scott Jensen. When we come back, this week's take. Welcome back to the Sunday Take. I'm Blois Olson. Well, sometimes you just feel and know that issues are in alignment, either by the calendar, by the theme, or by your intuition. And so when I watched the body camera this past week of Nicole Mitchell, it really got my neurons firing on what I was seeing versus what I had heard for several months. And that is the topic of this week's take. Tomorrow will mark 1 year since Joe Biden withdrew from the presidential race. Let's remember, that will be 1 year tomorrow that Joe Biden withdrew from the presidential race. That was almost a month after the June 27th debate, in which Americans saw with their own eyes and they heard with their own ears that he could not go toe-to-toe on a debate stage with Donald Trump, or frankly, probably with anyone who was really coherent and challenged him. And that was a marked point in our politics. Because then for weeks and days after, Democrats said, oh, he's fine. He just had a bad night. And yet we've learned since that more and more he had declined. He was aging. And what we saw was not and should not have been a surprise to those close to him. Those close to him protected him, but they deceived the country in a major way. And they did it in hopes of retaining power. After all, who could beat Donald Trump? Why didn't the Democrats want a challenge? Remember, Joe Biden said he would only run once. And this is, I think, at the core of the decline in trust in our public institutions and the parties that control them. And the behavior of denying the American public the value of seeing and hearing what they see and acknowledging it seems to be a trend, and it's a dangerous one. Republicans are dealing with their own fallout from what Americans know and feel and believe about Jeffrey Epstein, that suddenly we're not going to release the files, even though we were, now that it's a Biden hoax. And the Republicans, the MAGA Republicans, are turning on Donald Trump and Pam Bondi regarding Epstein. Why? Because they believe and they know and they saw with their own eyes, they read, they heard testimony that Jeffrey Epstein was a predator. And he hung out with powerful people, and they're trusting the victims. They're trusting the victims' voices and the victims' stories. And that there was a grand jury that was convened to issue charges before he the trial. So let's just look at those two situations. First and foremost, the media, however they hype it, however they talk about it, however they research it, investigate it, and report it, is critical in both of those stories. I think the media held back on Joe Biden, but ultimately the stories got out, especially if you read any of the books, if you followed the story since. And the same is true with Jeffrey Epstein. It was the media who got that story out there. The media tried to get Nicole Mitchell's camera footage from her arrest. It was not released. Had it been released, there would have been another wave of bad press for Nicole Mitchell, but ultimately people would have seen with their own eyes how she behaved on that night, that morning she got arrested. They would have seen how she was dressed. Because I will say this, I always thought Mitchell should resign. I always thought Democrats should pressure her to resign. But once I saw that body cam footage this week from police, I knew that my instincts and my intuition was true. In fact, it was stronger once I saw that body cam footage. So anybody who's been against body cam footage, I think can see in the last few years how valuable it is in showing with your eyes what has happened. Seeing with your eyes truth. It might be why reality TV is so compelling. It might be why social media is so popular. We saw it in another form at the Coldplay concert this week. When you see something, you have this inherent instinct that gives you that belief. Your eyes don't lie to what your intuition is. And that is what is failing us as institutions. When I say something here, people tell me they appreciate my tone. They trust part of my tone. Yet there are several listeners and several followers and several readers who don't trust it. They think I'm biased. They think I have an agenda. But I've tried for 26 years to be as transparent about my clients, my work, my views as possible. And like I tell the anonymous Twitter trolls, I put my name on everything. So you can too. You don't have to be anonymous and you might be more believable. But I come back to this idea that Minnesota's exceptionalism is at risk. And it's at risk by this notion that due process was more important than democracy. Let me present you a different scenario. Nicole Mitchell resigns last year. They hold a special election. Democrats win. Nicole Mitchell goes to trial that's not delayed over and over because of the legislative session and her special status as a Minnesota senator. She's acquitted. She's vindicated. And she runs for re-election as a hero. Politics is full of risk and reward, and unfortunately, everybody tries to play it safe. But playing it safe for power isn't in the best interest of the people. And ultimately, when the people see and feel and hear it, they retort, they change their votes. We hear this a lot about Governor Walz, that he on the national stage looked different, sounded different than he did in Minnesota. He looks and sounds different and chooses different issues when he's governor versus when he was in Congress. It's one of the things that independents say, that they think he's done a decent job as governor. They don't not support some of his initiatives, but they don't think he's authentic. They don't think he's grounded. The rise of the idea of a third party is cute, but I've heard about it for too long to not trust that it's going to come to fruition. It takes a lot of attention, and you're battling up against 200 years plus of parties, institutions. I know a lot of legislators listen to this show, and I know a lot of city council members do, and a lot of county commissioners, and even maybe some members of Congress or the U.S. Senate. So let's take the last year. Let's take the Biden-Trump debate on June 27th. Let's take Biden's withdrawal on July 21st. Let's take Tim Walz's debate performance. Let's take... and let's take the Jeffrey Epstein file, and now let's take the Nicole Mitchell file. Those who try to say something and convince people that something is true that counter to their own eyes and ears are 0-5. It's not working. And worse yet, it's breeding distrust, further distrust. It's eroding trust in our institutions. Can you imagine serving with Nicole Mitchell and trusting what she said after seeing her testimony, seeing her on that body cam? I can't. That she would carry a bill. Furthermore, her testimony that she couldn't make it to the date of her father's interment was because she had too much important work at the legislature. You know, there might have been a time in my life that I was inclined to do that. But I evolved. And legislators miss days of the legislature all too often. When they're sick, when they have to care for somebody, when there's a death, they can build the legislative calendar that way. But in 2024, Democrats knew that they couldn't spare a vote. And on some level, Nicole Mitchell felt like she couldn't ask for the day to go to her father's funeral. And that is when we decided and learned what we needed to understand. Nicole Mitchell is guilty, and she should have been guilty. Resignation is imminent if it hasn't happened already. But here we are, over a year later, where our gut and our instinct about Nicole Mitchell proved to be true. Just like our gut and our instinct about Joe Biden after that debate performance, just like our gut and instincts and intuitions about Jeffrey Epstein are true. So what the parties and the leaders and the powerful need to learn right now is, when you do that, when you deceive, when you create a facade, when you tell somebody what they see and what they hear is not the truth, even though they see it and hear it with their own eyes, you are degrading your own credibility. You're degrading the credibility of the institution. And ultimately, the truth wins. I'm Blois Olson. That's The Take this week. I'll be with Vanita Monday through Thursday. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the week. Follow along at thedailyagenda.com. And have a good one. Corzo's up next.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Odyssey celebrates Labor Day. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla Speed Test. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence, data 1H 2026.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.